And we're back.
And we are back. So, this is Mom's Basement Podcast, unplanned intermission edition. So, what happened there? I lost internet, and you lost internet at the same fucking time?
Yeah, it must have been something with Time Warner or some shit.
But I'm not on Time Warner.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you're not, huh? Like, mysterious North Country internet outage or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know what this is about.
A lot of the times, those guys share, they share cables to begin with. So if one guy goes out, the other guy goes. Even though in reality, one guy owns all the cables, and they're just renting it, and still charging you more for the same service.
But I'm on DSL.
Yeah, he's actually on DSL. That's right. Yeah, I have no idea how that happened.
Anyway.
Mystery of synchronized internet outages. We were talking about the Entropy game, and Alex, did you get a chance to wrap up what you were saying about it before we...
Actually, I just almost began it, and then that's when the apocalypse started to happen, actually. Alright, so I was in the middle of saying... I really liked the idea of, the rules where it's a clusterfuck of just random things followed by where you have to say these key phrases that normally douchebags would say to each other in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah.
And that the only way you really win anything is by having the other guy give up because he's tired of it.
Yeah, I love that. That was definitely my favorite part of this game.
And I said... And what I was getting to is this would be perfect because you don't have to play this seriously, but it would be great if you picked a subject that you think you can argue about, and like the other person picks a subject he thinks he can argue, for,
mm-hmm.
Again, pros and cons, kind of thing, like kind of like a debate style,
right?
And just as you were like planking each other, you just start talking shit about each other like mid plank, in order just like to keep it up. Like, this would be a great social game where, just to see how far you can, bullshit each other.
Right.
And, make each other laugh. Oh, that could be the punishment instead of, you just getting tired of planking, is the first person to laugh as you're planking and, trying to talk smack to each other. That one wins. Then the guy who doesn't laugh first. You can easily do a whole bunch of small hacks to this style of game because it truly is... nothing but let's see how much I can BS you and hold my ground without giving up on it, which is the truth about almost every single forum discussion, because 9 times out of 10 let me rephrase that, 9.9999 times out of 10, every conversation on a forums is one elitist prick versus another elitist prick. And none of them don't want to have an actual conversation that involves, giving and taking and, understanding each other. Majority of the time it's, I'm right, this is how games should be, go F yourself, and then the other guy who gets on it is so angry about it that that's how they have their fight off. Right. It's like accidental trolling, but it's bad trolls.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
So that's why I love this game.
And one more thing. One thing that I think possibly clues you off to the fact that this is intended to be a kind of stab at the porridge is the fact that he calls himself Lord Papyrus 420. because a big thing about the porridge community is you use your real name. That's an expectation. So not only does he use an internet handle, but he uses a transparent, goofy internet handle, like almost an AIM handle,
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about it. Isn't Papyrus a form of isn't that like a form of hemp or something like that?
I think
it's
a
writing.
Writing.
But you get what I'm saying, though, 420.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't think it's hemp. I think it's a separate plant, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's,
okay. Because that would have been the ultimate, yeah, you know this guy.
the Egyptians used it to make paper. That's all I remember from middle school.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's... Yeah. As a satire, I think it's awesome, even if you don't agree with what it's saying. I like the idea of satirizing through mechanics, as I said before.
Right, right.
And I think, as you said, Alex, there are some things here that are can be generalized to any internet discussion forum, and there are some things here that seem specifically designed for the Forge. I am not going to... No spoilers here. Go and look at the game and see if you can figure out for yourself what he's making fun of. Or maybe I'm totally off base, but take a look at the game. It's fun to try to puzzle out, wow, what's going on with that mechanic?
Yeah. Yep.
Are we on to number three?
We're on to number three.
Alex, what's your number three?
All right, my number three was Area 51 Blackout, because it had one of the greatest one-liners out of all the like the games I've ever read on that one. And I know this is a terrible way of picking like top 10 games, because it had one sentence that I loved the most. But what it said was when it came, it's like a deception game where you're in Area 51 and you're trying to uncover truths, and this one guy's trying to, each person has like their own agenda, and the actual rule system itself I really don't care for, but one of the rules that they put in there was if one player is talking to like an NPC or something like that, that any player that's not in the scene has to cover their ears.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, that enough is worth getting into number three, am I right? I mean,
yeah, no.
Right? That is
no, that's pretty totally awesome.
So yeah, that's why I got it. Just the idea that you have to tell somebody, shh, earmuffs.
Well, and for a conspiracy theory game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This game's by David Berg, by the way. And this is, David Berg entered a few games in the Ronnies, too. And all of the games that I've seen by him run along the same lines. They're all conspiracy games, and they all deal with issues of identity.
Hmm.
And I think this game has a really cool hook to it. The idea of four guys with very different motivations being forced to live in the same body while they're trying to unravel this conspiracy at Area 51.
Yeah.
Some of the mechanics were a little... my brain is fried. It's 1 a.m. and the only thing I can think of is pun. They were a little dicey for my taste.
A little dicey.
But... I feel so bad about that. But anyway, they were... They were a little dice heavy, my personal taste. But I think they were totally functional. And I definitely thought, though, that the pitch here, the hook, the idea, is cool.
I don't have much to say about this game other than basically what you guys have already said. The idea of four people living inside one body is just cool.
And to have abilities statted and set up in such a way that they're mechanically in conflict with one another too, while the personalities are in conflict with one another is cool too.
Right.
Any more thoughts on this, or can we move on?
Move on.
I think we're good.
Okay, Rudy, what's your number three?
My number three is Another Day, Another Crisis. And this is basically a superhero deck building game. I'm not sure if it's meant to be a role-playing game or not. I mean, I guess there's elements where you could role-play, certainly. But the main thing that got me really hard to this game is I saw superheroes and I saw deck building. this was actually going to be number one, but there's one that is kind of better, I thought, than this. But, yeah, I mean, it's a superhero deck-building RPG. What more do I have to say about it? I mean, that's just awesome. Those are two things that are incredibly awesome. Intrinsically awesome.
Know about Rudy Johnson.
If
you want to seduce Rudy Johnson, superheroes and crazy mechanics.
Yep.
Superheroes, crazy mechanics, sold.
Yep. But no, I just like the way that the mechanics come together to let you build, I mean, pretty much anything that you want. And, yeah, that's... I mean, that's basically the core, I think, of, or should be the core of any good superhero game, is mechanics that let you, you know, have any type of hero that you want. And this one definitely goes there and does that, so, yeah. That's pretty much all I have to say about this game.
They had you at superheroes.
Yeah, no, this game, as soon as I read the little blurb about it, I was like, yeah, this is going on my list.
My favorite one about this game, my favorite part about it, was the reboot section.
Oh, yeah.
Where they openly talk about the reality of comic book heroes, and that most of the time, that as soon as they're done, like, recycling every single story plot hook that's ever been done, they just say, okay, he's no longer Hal Jordan, he's now, you know, John Stewart. And then we're going to tell the same stories over and over again, but now he's a black Green Lantern instead of a white guy. I like that idea that they actually put that into the thing, because that's the reality of comic book heroes, is that they're all one note characters who live the exact same, like, you know, trials and tribulations that every other superhero ever deals with.
Right. Yeah.
And then as soon as they get bored of doing that, they just move on to another character that's exactly the same, but oh, instead of him being, you know, a white Peter Parker, he's now, I think, was it, like, Mexican or something like that?
Could be.
I'm not up on comics, but
basically, they made him an urban Spider-Man instead of a, you know, instead of a white kid, a white geek.
Urban Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, I know, okay, never mind, I wasn't going to go there, because this is... We're
oh, no, go there.
I'm talking about for the other people who want to listen to this, who are not accustomed to...
Oh, the typical. Right, that's true.
Yeah. Because we want them to be on our good side right now.
That's true.
Just to let you know, I wasn't going to drop an N-bomb. I'm just letting you know.
Just to let you know, I was going to drop an N-bomb.
All right. So, yeah, but that's what I like about it, is they show the realities of comic book heroes, and I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have much to say about this game. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of superheroes, and I'm not a big fan of deck building. Well, okay, I wasted too much of my adolescence playing Magic the Gathering, and now I'm a little afraid of deck building games. But no, I think this looked like a real cool game. This was one of the ones I didn't dig too deeply into, but now you make me want to try to play it, so GG. My number three is Incadia by Lester Ward. This is a game where you can take one of Kincaid's paintings or a poster of it, rip it apart, and urinate on it.
Yeah.
Wow, creating an awesome fantasy setting.
Right. A post-apocalyptic fantasy setting. That.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I didn't know who Kincaid was until he died. So I have no grudges. I don't really care. But the idea of defiling a work of art, or recreating a work of art, or however you want to look at it, as setting creation, and setting creation alone as the RPG.
Right.
Two really cool ideas here. And so, although part of the ballsy, like, let's take a guy who just died, and who I assume the author strongly dislikes, and let's have people literally piss on their work. Well, that burned a few points with me. The game really stands alone, even without that ballsy component to it. Yeah. I really dug the idea, really enjoyed the idea of taking a poster or any kind of piece of art, and then collectively tearing it apart and adding to it and using that and narrating while you're doing that and using that narration as a way to create a whole new world.
Mm.
That was really cool. And the idea, this is another game that takes one component out of RPGs, isolates it, and turns it into an RPG all by itself. And in this case, it's setting creation. Something which is often, unfortunately, something that people feel like, oh, well, we need to get through that so we can start playing the game.
Hmm.
This makes that really fun in a way that no other game that I've encountered really makes it fun.
Right, yeah, this one is also on my list, and I just like the general concept of making something that you can hold, like, physically during the game. I think that's just really cool, and something that can basically be a reminder of the game after it's all done, assuming you don't rip the whole thing to shreds after.
Yeah, what I really liked about the concept of it was that it was kind of like setting creation turn on its head, because you were practically making a collage.
Yeah.
By ripping apart the guy's the guy's like print or like a work of his paintings, right. And then you were making it your own by instead of having the house in the left side of the map, you had it on the bottom right, and there was more blank, and like you can do whatever you really want with it. So it's definitely an alternative look at setting creation, where instead of having it to where the setting creation is limited by the players, it's limited by the randomness of the painting you take.
Right.
Because it's also since it's post-apocalyptic, all of his paintings are very non-post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
So it's more of like a challenge. Like, hey, I dare you to make this post-apocalyptic. And since you can't really change that much of the color, you're going to have a lot of plate to deal with.
Right.
And I mean, altogether, I really don't think it really was much of an insult. I think it really was like more of an idea that was a recent dude. You know, that's a guy of memory, because most people don't know any of these artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he was basically like, I'll give a small brief history, because for some reason I had to know about this when I was little. What happened was, like, he was very famous for QVC ads, because he would go on there and sell prints of his paintings. And my grandmother and my mom would buy a lot of these paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma bought a lot of originals, too, so she's kind of happy that he's gone right now. In the worst way, in the worst way. And so I dealt with a lot of, almost the equivalent of, Bob Ross happy trees, and, everything was nice and pleasant. And just the idea of, taking that thing, because I'm guessing that's kind of like what he was going for, the author there, of taking the nice things that he did and just turning it on its head to make it like, grim and dark and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's no question that that's part of what he's going to do, the idea that Kincaid created these really idyllic paintings, and now we're going to make it post-apocalyptic, really turn it on its head, like you said. I think that's part of it, but I think there's a little bit of resentment. Just the way, I think there's a little bit more venom here than you're suggesting.
It does involve pissing on his artwork, so.
I do find this strange, considering that you are supposed to be the super hippie of RPGs right now. I'm supposed to be the smug,
That's true.
And yet you did like a role reversal on it. What the hell?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well, this is a game about role reversals, so yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That was kind of...
Boom.
All right, so yeah, on to the next session. I think we're on number twos, right?
On to number two.
Roger.
Alex, what's your number two?
All right, my number two was Monsters of Glam.
Yeah,
I'm honestly gonna I'm just gonna throw it out here. I have no idea what the fuck this game's about.
Man, it's 1:30 in the morning. I don't know.
I think it's about glam rockers on their last tour, basically.
Yeah, I'm talking about the game mechanics. I have no idea how that game's actually played. I just read like the first like 5 pages, and I said this game needs to be on a top 10, and because it's so ridiculously awesome.
Right.
That and then as I went down other games, I was like, this has to be like my number 2. This has to be the like almost the greatest of greats. Just because you are a rock band on your last tour, and like the only thing I like paid attention to was the ending, where if you play more songs you play of that of your fictitious rock band, the better your ending will be.
Right.
And then you can act that out. But that's what I remember is you're supposed to just make a random name and all that kind of stuff, and then, you know, the troubles ensue of like a normal breakup for a band, and just there was just so much like into it where it's just like, holy shit, this is like the greatest premise for an RPG that you like you can do as a one shot. And I really liked it. Just from that alone.
This was an awesome premise. There's something else that's really awesome about the game. It has the best, well, I guess not exactly character generation, but it has the best random element. I don't know. The mechanics that are there for generating your band are fucking awesome. That you generate the name of your band by going to a random Wikipedia article.
Oh, right.
You generate the title of your album by taking the last 4 words of a random quotation. And you generate your album cover by taking a random picture from Flickr. And it works perfectly. I did it like 2 or 3 times. I was like, let me see this. And it was just, I don't remember exactly what I got. I think I got some for my random Wikipedia article. It was some German pharmaceuticals company. It was like AA Hydrofam or something like that. And I was like, holy shit, that sounds like a crazy band name.
No.
I don't remember what my the album title was Impossible Until It Isn't. And the cover was like a close-up picture of like a kid holding a flower or something, and it had like some kind of filter action going on there.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, yeah, AA Hydrofam Impossible Until It Isn't. Like, yes, this does sound like a glam rock album.
Yeah.
But really, I could have done that for like, maybe I'm just that pathetic, but I probably could have played that part of the game for an hour in and of itself. Like Alex, I don't remember much about the actual game.
Yeah, see, that's the same for me. I don't remember much about the mechanics, but just the idea of a game about glam rockers burning out on their last tour is just fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember the mechanics being pretty good, but I don't remember anything about them. That's kind of sad.
No, the rule, you just need to feel the awesome, and then everything else comes with it.
Yeah, feel the fucking music.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do like the idea that you actually play music while you're playing the game. Like, it's a soundtrack, and you play it, and it's cool, and yeah. Okay, Rudy, your number 2.
My number 2 was True Men Don't Kill Coyotes. What to say about this game? The whole thing seems like some kind of elaborate ritual for making, like, or for having, like, a trippy, cathartic experience.
Yeah.
And I'd say
with the mystery thrown in.
Yeah. And I'd say it definitely succeeds in that. Because, I mean, there's shit like dancing around a fire. And, like, you actually paint your body up and stuff like that.
Yes, you do.
And I just wonder... I just wonder if Handle With Care, if people walking in on that would be strange. then what the hell would people walking in on True Men Don't Kill Coyotes, what would that look like? Because this game is... It would. Because this game is just so outlandish that I feel that... I just feel that it's awesome. It's an awesome work. And the way it's written is also pretty awesome, too. Like, at one point he says, like, well, I don't know, you should have some hot girls there or something. I would do that or something like that. But, yeah, no, it's just overall an awesome game. And I like the idea of kind of a game that's like an experience more than it is more than it is anything else. Like, it's almost like a ritual to get yourself into the role playing, I guess. I mean, people talk about immersion and stuff like that a lot, but I think this is true immersion right here.
This is extreme immersion.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. I mean, oh yeah, and it's named after a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, which is pretty fucking awesome. Yeah.
Although I have to say, if they were going to make an extreme immersion game based on a Red Hot first song, I wish it was Under the Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if you're not familiar, is basically a quick progress doing heroin until you're homeless.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome extreme immersion RPG.
Yeah, it would.
But honestly, I really dug the parts of this game that you were talking about. I thought those were cool. I thought the dance around a fire and paint yourself up stuff was cool. What kept this game off my list was the fact that the Rashomon murder mystery element seemed kind of poorly integrated with the rest of the game.
Mm.
And it didn't seem... The mechanics for when and how that was supposed to be handled and resolved seemed absent,
right,
or incomplete. So that kind of took me out of the game. The fact that it really... I know that at some point in the game, each character is supposed to confess to the murder of the coyote.
Right.
But how that's structured and how that's integrated with the game as a whole and with the ritualistic dancing and all that, a lot of that seemed absent. It seemed like it needed to be fleshed out better.
All right. When I was reading that, I thought this would be, because even though the guy said in the beginning that he did do drugs in order to be inspired by this story.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was like... This wasn't a game. This was Vision Quest.
Yeah.
Where you go out there, you do all that kind of stuff, and then you assumedly do drugs in the process, and then, like, at the end of it, you have, like, almost an out-of-body experience, and, like, this is your vision, because, like, when they read about, and in the end game, it says, like, you know, all of you kill the, you know, the coyote god, you know?
Yeah.
And since he's the god of tricks, that is your, you killed the confusion in your life, and now you have full clarity.
Ah.
That's what I was thinking. This is Vision Quest. This is not a game. And because of that, it's full of excellence. But because, you know, I am an elitist prick this session, this is not a game, so therefore it was not my top 10.
No.
Not a game. Okay.
Right.
My number two, we discussed already, my number two is Liminal by Robert Bruce, King of Scotland.
Yes, the King of Scotland.
Awesome X-Files standalone episode as an awesome game, and I like this, and I'm tired, so let's move on.
Plus, you already explained it, so...
Yeah, we already talked about it.
Alright, so my number one is something I already talked about, and that's the Entropy game.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Enough said. Move along.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that was a cool game. Rudy, what was your number one?
My
These number ones are kind of a letdown now.
Yeah, they are.
Oh. talked about it. Fuck it. Move on.
Yeah, my number one is Incadia, which, if you missed it before, this is a game about pissing on fucking artwork. And that's awesome.
And we already talked about it.
And we already talked about it. So, yeah. Your number one?
Coyote Won't Talk by Morgan Stinson. Hmm. See, now I'm even messing up the simple English names. I don't know. I can't speak. Morgan Stinson. Coyote Won't Talk. This game is number one on my list because it has all of the elements that were so prominent in these entries, and it takes them and it combines them together in a really perfect package. Mm-hmm. It has the coyote mythology element.
Right.
It has the post-apocalyptic element. It has the game as pure storytelling element. It has the trickery and deception element. It has the return to childhood play, dress-up game element. It has the crazy LARPy mechanics. It has everything. It has everything that all of these other games had bits and pieces of, and it managed to take all of it and integrate it, mash it all together into a whole where all of the pieces fit perfectly while being a very simple, straightforward game. Basically, and I explained why I liked the game before I explained what the game was. Basically, this is Earth after humanity is gone, and the sentient animals or animal spirits are reflecting on humanity. And in some ways, I think this is a better post-apocalyptic game than some of the other post-apocalyptic games that were more upfront about being post-apocalyptic. Because what post-apocalyptic games are material is often really about is what kind of legacy does humanity leave behind.
Right.
And this is a game that is about non-humans discussing exactly that legacy that humanity has left behind. And in order to do this, two of the animals agree to take human form. And they're wearing masks, and they lift up the mask to take human form. And then they act out a simple scene where they're interacting with each other. But the real where the game really gets interesting is they've decided in advance that Coyote, he's too good at storytelling. He's too good at playing roles, so he can't talk. But instead, he has a magic lantern that illuminates people's thoughts. So you have one animal, the wolf, I believe, who's playing humans, who's taking on a human role, and his whole goal is to make humanity look as bad as possible. And then you have the dog, who's loyal to humanity, and his whole goal is to make humanity look as good as possible. You have the fox, who's acting as the arbiter, and you have the coyote, who is stepping into these scenes when people are talking, interrupting them and saying, oh, you say that, but you think this. You know, this is what your thoughts, this is what's going on inside this character's head. And I thought, first of all, that's a really interesting dynamic, because the stakes are all right there. One person wants this, the other person wants that, and this guy's meddling with it in an interesting way. And it really gives you the opportunity to show characters both superficially and deeply at the same time. So Wolf will be trying to make the most superficially obnoxious character possible, right?
Right.
You know, he's just a flat-out dickhead, and play that to the hilt. And then Coyote can step in and say, well, he behaves this way, but the reason he's acting like such a phenomenal dickhead is because he's insecure about this. Mm. And you say, oh, huh. It really is a cool, simple way to get at the psychology behind characters and to add depth to characters quickly in play. Mm. And I just love the way that these characters are playing off of each other, too. The social dynamic in this game seems pitch perfect, where you have two characters who are set in opposition to each other with very clear goals, acting out a scene, and then you have one character who is trying to arbitrate the scene, trying to just be the neutral observer and keep this, who also frames the scene, by the way. So you have a force of neutrality, and then you have someone actively trying to complicate and meddle and make the scene more interesting and reveal hidden angles, and it all works. It seems like it would all work immediately, intuitively, and be just very fun to play with very little prep, very little setup. Once again, this is a game that really strips RPGs down to pure storytelling without ever losing the idea that it's a game and that people are at odds and that there's social competition going on here. But without ever making that game any more complicated or baroque or whatever than it needs to be.
Right.
And so, yeah, it just seemed like the perfect example of what so many other people were trying to do with their entries. And you get to cut masks out and tape them to construction paper and run around with them.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because I don't have much to add to what you said, but you do get to wear masks in the game, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the idea of just the mask thing in general, because I remember in the fifth grade, we made paper mache masks with Duck Jokes, and that was awesome.
Badass.
Yes.
I was an ant.
Oh, man.
That's great.
And then we had to write Native American folklore behind our masks, and I did the one about why ants never sleep.
Why do ants never sleep?
Because the ant was so damn lazy that it finally got punished and that it couldn't go to sleep.
Oh. Well, that's simple.
Yeah.
Aren't most of the Native American stories simple?
Except when they're not, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, you proved your point. I'm totally in the wrong. I will cease to stop planking in front of you.
Oh, goddamn. No, plank some more, please.
Alright, so yeah.
Right.
Now, so, yeah.
Those are our top 10 games, guys.
Top 10.
So, now that we're thoroughly sleep deprived, any additional final supplemental whatever thoughts on Game Chef?
Honestly, I was really disappointed in this year, just because it's kind of like, you know, with the majority of, like, you know, music production, books produced, that there was a lot of just blah for games, and very few, like, actual games that had some promise. And even though, like, I picked a top 10, I really only liked, like, three of the games, and even then, I wouldn't even consider buying them myself, just because they just seemed like just goofy, like a one shot exploits of what the settings were. But I think this last year was a good example of the last chance of trying to attempt to make a good game for Game Chef, and then ultimately failing because it's on the death throes of a dying thing.
I
wasn't that disappointed. I was actually kind of impressed more than I thought I would be by the entries. Because when I read the premise and the theme and the ingredients, I was like, eh, lots of post-apocalyptic stuff. But they actually had some interesting takes on it. And I thought it was pretty cool. That's about it.
My biggest disappointment was that there was only one game that used Coyote as the guy who smuggles people across the border.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was my... You know, Coyote is a border smuggler.
Right.
Well, and not just smuggler, but someone who specializes in smuggling human beings across the border.
Right.
And the one game that addressed that, Liminal, actually didn't focus on the Coyote himself at all.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's not the migrant, which is... And Liminal was a good game, and we've been through that. But I thought there was a lot of really interesting possibilities, especially since immigration reform is in the news so much right now, and there's so much discussion about illegal immigration and legal immigration, and whether that's a useful distinction to make, that I wish there were more games about immigration, and particularly more games about what's going on right now on the U.S.-Mexico border. Mm. I had an idea that never came together for a game that was basically a Heart of Darkness set on the Rio Grande, where, you know, the Heart of Darkness, where you're smuggling people into the United States, so the U.S. is the Heart of Darkness. Mm. So the idea, we're civilized, you know, you kind of flip it around, and it's not, you know... Uncivilized territories are the Heart of Darkness. It's like civilization is where it is. But there was going to be more to it than that, and it was going to be like a border crossing drama thing. But I could never get the pieces to come together, so I said, fuck it. But anyway, I wish there were more games that dealt with that theme. I wish there were less games that dealt with the Native American coyote trickster god thing. Yeah. There were so fucking many of those games. And one thing, though, more of them were really good than I expected. Looking at my list, like, three or four of the games out of 10 on my list were those type of games. So it wasn't as if there wasn't anything fruitful in going in that direction. It's just that so many people went in that direction that it was kind of a letdown. So that was kind of my disappointment with the game. I didn't think initially that the terms were going to be very evocative, but they did generate some interesting content. I was really impressed by the way so many of these games, and I've said this before, but so many of these games refuse to be complete RPGs, you know, refuse to cater to the idea of what all the components that an RPG needs to include, and instead just really focused in on one or two strong foundational parts of RPGs and really tried to flesh those out and get as much out of those as they can. I really like the idea that so many of these games were about the social experience of playing these games,
right,
which is something that should be obvious when you're designing an RPG, but a lot of RPGs seem to be designed without a social experience and the social fun of play in mind. And so many of these games were designed with that in mind. And wow, I thought that was really awesome.
Signing off, I guess. I mean, that is.
This may be. Oh my god.
Are we gonna pull the microphone out now or what?
I don't know.
No. There's really nothing else to say left after that. I mean, I said my piece about, you know. I wasn't fully, like, you know, I just wasn't fully really invested in, like, all the games that were released. And, like, you know, you guys, you're more experienced nerds at this kind of stuff.
Well, and
so I, yeah.
We may get a chance to talk about Game Chef again next week if we really can get Mike Holmes on to talk with us. I think that would be pretty cool. Oh, was that supposed to be Ryan? Yes.
that's supposed to be a big teaser, like a hint, and that way you can get people to come onto like on the blog or something like that.
Okay, well, I won't say anything more about that. Never. I won't say anything.
Except that everything has been said already.
No, I said if. And I didn't say what he was going to talk about if he came on. It may not even be games yet, though.
All right, well, that's one surprise you ruined. I hope you don't ruin the second one. And with that in mind...
Wait, is there...
Complaints, comments, go ahead, you know, talk about it. We have the RPG Crosstalk if you guys want to say a thing about, like, you know, our thoughts on the matter. If you want to, you know, shout it at the elitist prick or the super dippy hippie guy for RPGs, you know, go ahead and leave a comment. But just be gentle, because we're sensitive people, even though we trash, like, willy-nilly without, like, you know, mercilessly.
Don't be gentle. but yeah. No. Oh, and you can leave a comment right on our blog.
Yeah.
If you want to, if you care. Thanks for listening to what I'm sure is now a 3 or 4 hour podcast.
Yeah.
And during which most of us were sleep deprived and incoherent. Not lucid at all. I'm just gonna make noises.
Noise.
Are we least professional podcast on internets?
Yeah.